Let's pray. Father, we praise you again today for this season of Christmas, but also for walking with us through this year, through the ups and downs of life, through the mountaintop experiences, and through the very valley of the shadow of death. You have held our hand and you have guided us, and we praise you. It is our heart's desire this morning, Almighty God, to crown Jesus, Lord of all. Oh, it's easy to say, you know that, we know that, it's easy to say and harder to do, but we really desire, Heavenly Father, to crown Jesus, Lord of our lives, Lord of all. And so may that not just be a song for this last Sunday of the 2015 year, but may it be our heart's desire for our whole lives. We pray again this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would comfort those who couldn't come, those that are lonely, those that are hurting, those that are lost. We pray that eyes would be opened in this new year to Jesus, that hearts receptive would be receptive, and that our friends and neighbors and co-workers and people around our community that have not yet had the chance or taken the opportunity to crown Jesus Lord of their lives would do that very, very soon. And so, Lord, I pray for the church. We just make up a little part in this fellowship, but I pray for the church that the church in 2016 would be set on fire with the Holy Spirit of God, and we would love our neighbor because we love you with a new passion, and people that are hurting all over the globe, all over this community, but even to the uttermost parts of the earth would see Jesus in the church and want to crown him Lord of all of their lives too. We need you, Lord. Not just for an hour on Sunday morning. We need you in America. We need you in our government. We need you in our schools. We need you in our families. We need you in our marriages. We need you, Father, for our young people. We need you in the church. Oh, God, we need you. And I pray as we close out 2015 and move into a new year, I pray, Heavenly Father, that revival would take hold of your church in our communities, in our lives, and around the globe, that revival would happen and millions and billions would come to know Jesus Christ and crown him Lord of all. May it begin with us. And so, Father, as we look at Scripture this last Sunday of 2015, may you speak to our hearts. May you set us free from whatever it is that binds us, whether it's sin or addiction or anything else, habits. May you set us free, O God, and we really crown you Lord of life, Lord Jesus. May you heal us and patch us up, Lord, where we hurt. Comfort, counsel, and guide. We're open. We're receptive, Father. Lead us by your Spirit. Glorify your name today and always, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Today's lesson title is Ups and Downs, because I've been thinking about 2015. And I've been thinking about the ups and downs of life, in your life and mine, in our lives, in America. And as I was thinking about this topic of ups and downs, I was thinking today is the 1 year anniversary that we gathered in this place to worship. Amen. Today is the 1 year anniversary Praise God for His goodness. But while I rejoice over that fact, today is the 1 year anniversary in this building that God has blessed us with. There are people that were here on that day that are not here any longer today, 1 year later. Some have died. Some of our friends, family, our community, our church are not here today like they were a year ago because they have died. And I wondered, as I pondered this scripture and this topic today of ups and downs, I wondered who will not be here 1 year from now. We don't think about that much, do we? But the fact is, there will be those that sit here today and in churches and in life, sit at wherever, will not be here 1 year from today. That's just part of life. And so while I've pondered over this last few days the ups and downs of 2015, it is with great joy I have seen God at work. Amen? Amen. I have seen babies born and people born again. Hallelujah. And it's with great sorrow I've buried some very, very close friends. We've lost your family members, our friends. And so we look back at 2015 with both joy at what Jesus is doing and sorrow at sickness and loss of life. And I was thinking that, I don't remember what grade it was, but I was thinking of a school teacher that said to me and my classmates a long time ago, and I was young, maybe fifth, sixth grade, I don't remember. But I've been pondering what that school teacher said when we came back after Christmas vacation. That school teacher reminded us that last year and yesterday is gone forever. It's gone. And I wasn't sure if I liked that thought, because no doubt we had some joyous moments and some good times last year, and it's gone. And as we flip the page up on the calendars of life, physically and emotionally and everything else, we turn 2015, we close the chapter, and it's gone. And I know that for some sitting here today and sat in here in the earlier service, you don't want it back. That was enough of that. That was enough of that year. You don't want it back. And there are others who had a good year and great times and great experiences and wouldn't mind seeing some of that duplicated. But nothing will be exactly the same tomorrow, next week, or next year as it was last year. Nothing will be the same. Families are changed forever. Their loved ones have gone. Families have changed in other ways. Churches have changed. America is changing. I'm going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. Some of it's not for the best. And as I was thinking about the ups and downs and 2015 now for all practical purposes being gone, I wonder how many times in this last year have we missed opportunities to praise Him, to praise our Heavenly Father? Have we missed opportunities? I hope 2016 will be different if we did. I wonder sometimes if we in the church have missed opportunities to really love our neighbors, those around us, to really love our neighbors as ourselves. Have we missed those opportunities in 2015? Because I hope in 2016 we can do better if we have. And so may I just say before we go to Scripture, I hope that however year has gone, there has been some good that you give thanks for. And maybe we can even bring ourselves to giving God thanks for that that wasn't so good. After all, I know it was James that said in chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall into various trials and temptations, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. And so I hope that however you view 2015, we can count it all joy, because if it was hard, you can say, God, you helped me through some tough spots. Thank you for building my faith. Or if it was joyful, thank you, God. You've blessed me and you've done this and you've done that. I pray that however 2015 was, we can find things to give thanks, because I believe giving thanks is good for us. And may I say also, however the year has gone, 2015, terrible or wonderful or somewhere in between or some of both, may I say that there are some things that have not changed and won't. God has not changed. God's love for people has not changed. Peter's proclamation about the will of God that none should perish. God doesn't want anybody in hell apart from Him forever. That hasn't changed. God's will is that people should still be born again into the kingdom and part of heaven forever. That hasn't changed. Hallelujah. He didn't change His mind. Okay, the quota's full. That's it. You don't get to come. The will of God hasn't changed. The grace of God hasn't changed. It's still reaching out to people. As I've said over and over, the grace of God will go just a little bit further than our sin took us away from God. Hallelujah. That hasn't changed. The shed blood of Jesus is still atoning for sin. The Bible passage says, by His stripes we are healed. Hasn't changed either. And so while life changes, we change. We get white hair, we lose our hair. Our family's dynamics change. We lose our loved ones, we add some babies, and our loved ones go on. While there's many things that changed in 2015, there are some things that have not changed, and God in His love for us hasn't changed. May I say this too, that according to the Word of God, hell is still hungry for souls too, that won't ever get around to committing to Jesus Christ as Lord. That hasn't changed either. Brutality is still going to exist because of the fall. You remember the fall back in the garden? Brutality still exists. People are still destroying each other. Doesn't take but a 1 minute's worth of 6 o'clock news to see that. There's some things that aren't going to change until Jesus returns. But I think of this last 12 months, and I praise God that people have given their lives to Him in these last 12 months, and I shout hallelujah and thank you, Lord. And yet in the same time frame, people of our own congregation have died, and there's that hole in our heart. I did a whole bunch of weddings this year, and they're always fun. And marriages, I think of these last 12 months, and marriages have started. And I've seen in some cases marriages strengthened. And I've seen in some cases in our community and even in our churches, some marriages have dissolved. Change keeps happening. As I have said, babies have been born. And young and old alike have been born again this last year. And as I said to you at Thanksgiving, I think it's good to be mindful of what God has done for us and reflect on His goodness. And I know it's easy to get down. Like I mentioned, the 6 o'clock news, which I don't watch, by the way, except for a little bit of PBS. It's easy to get down when you think, oh man, well, look at the way this is happening. Man, look at the way that's going. Man, oh man, look at... It's easy to get discouraged when we think that our children can't even write about Jesus in school anymore or get reprimanded or a failing grade from teacher in very young, in our post-secondary. I read accounts again this last week. Our children, young people, young adults, I should say, in college, not children, want to take a stand for Jesus. And even though we thought it was just a movie that said God's not dead, there are people that are saying to our young people, He is dead. And don't talk to him about it in my class, because if you do, you get a failing grade. We can get all kind of discouraged when we see all this stuff and all the stuff that's happened with ISIS and all the ugliness and all the mayhem. We can get all kind of discouraged. But yet we can come here and we can worship and we can sing praises and we can give our hearts to Jesus and we can see Him heal marriages and bodies and souls, and we can do it freely. Yet in America, and I say, hallelujah. As I said before, I think it's important for us to give thanks and be thankful for the past and the year we've had, even though it hasn't been pleasant to many of you. I think it's good for us to give thanks, because after all, if we've been born again, haven't we got salvation to be thankful for? Haven't we got the hope of heaven? Haven't we got the view of heaven, even in sight, if we know Jesus? Haven't we? We do. And so even though life has handed you a bowl full of lemons and nastiness and hurt, I think it's good for as followers of Jesus Christ to be able to give thanks for things in our lives and give thanks for last year and look forward to next year of what God wants to do in the future should Jesus tarry. And so, Psalm 139 is what I have picked for today. And if you've got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to look at it. Otherwise, it will be on the big screen. While you're turning there, let me just say this. If you're like me and many others, you go before God and say, Father, forgive me for the sin of omission. There was things I should have done last year, people I should have spoke to, prayed for, visited, told about Jesus, and didn't. James calls that the sin of omission. But I don't want us to dwell on that. I want us to look at that as a opportunity for next year, when Jesus puts somebody in your path to love and to tell them the good news. Because here's the deal, friends. The atmosphere in America is getting, well, it's getting to the point there's a lot of desperate folks. You know what I'm talking about? And with desperation, people start looking for answers. And so I believe that in 2016, it will be a banner year for God's people, you and me, and people all over in America and around the globe, to help people that are desperate and dying and hurting. I believe we will have opportunity after opportunity to tell them there is hope, and His name is Jesus. And so I look forward to 2016, even though it looks like desperate times and desperate things are happening in America, not for the positive necessarily. I believe it will give us opportunity, because of people that are desperate and hurt and dying and wondering and lonely, it will give people of God a chance to tell them your story. May I tell you about Jesus? May I tell you what He's done for me? I think 2016 is going to have all kind of opportunity for us to do that, because we are in desperate and difficult times. Psalm 139. Ups and downs of life. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. Were there times in 2015 that our thoughts were less than commendable or lovely? The psalmist reminds us, "You understand my thoughts afar off." Was there times in 2015 that our thoughts were evil, sinful, vindictive? The psalmist reminds us, God in heaven, you know even what I think about. You know it before I'm going to think it. You know my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with my ways. There's not even a word on my tongue, the Bible says, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Were there words in 2015 we wish we could scoop up and take back? God knows those words. Were there times that our words were uplifting and encouraging to our neighbors, our friends, or even those that aren't our neighbors, our friends? Or were there times in 2015 that our words were negative and tearing down instead of lifting up? You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Have you taken time in 2015 to recognize that God's watching over you and said, thank you, Lord? That was a close call. Thank you, Lord. You helped me through a tough spot. Have you taken the time in 2015 to even say thank you for what He protected you from that you didn't even know about? The psalmist reminds us, you've hedged me in behind and before. You've laid your hand on me. He has taken care of us. Did we take time to say thank you, Lord, in 2015? The psalmist says in verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heavens, you are there. On the mountaintop experiences of life. We've all had some of those from time to time, I hope. And the psalmist reminds us, he's been there. And maybe on those mountaintop experiences, when things are going good, that's precisely the time we forget to say, thank you, Lord. It's going pretty good here. And things are going our way. And we kind of figure and forget to say thank you. And the psalmist reminds us, where can I go? Even if I ascend into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there too. And even in the sorrow-filled moments of life, even in the very valleys of the shadow of death, the psalmist reminds us, you have been there with me, O God. Ups and downs, you have been there, the psalmist writes. And reminds us. And he says further, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you. Did you know that, friends? We're not even hidden from God at night. The darkness doesn't hide us either. The psalmist said, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Listen to this intricate detail for which God knows us, beginning in 13. The psalmist writes, For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My very frame, he writes, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. The psalmist reminds us, even as an embryo, even even as a tiniest baby in our mother's womb, the psalmist reminds us, you knew about that. And even not only did you know my substance unformed, in your book, they're all written. My days, the days are fashioned for me when as yet there wasn't any days to be had. God knew it all. And even though, brothers and sisters, 2015 may have held some surprises for you, and 2016 will hold some surprises for the rest of us, none of it has surprised God. He is keenly aware of what's happening in your life. He is keenly aware of your hurt, of your loneliness, of your sorrow. He is keenly aware of the path you are walking on life. Jesus is real clear in the Sermon on the Mount. There's only two roads, the narrow one that leads to life eternal, the narrow one through Jesus Christ, and the broad one that leads to destruction. God is keenly aware today which road you and I are on. He is keenly aware of all of humanity, the 7 billion of us. Are we on the wrong road, which is the wide one that leads to destruction? He is keenly aware of that, and He cares for you and me and everybody else. And so may I just say, no matter what kind of year it's been, God has been there in the midst of it with you. No matter how deep the valley has been you've had to walk through, you didn't have to walk through it alone. On the best of days in 2015, God has been there. And on the worst of days, He has too. I love this psalm. It was better than 20 years ago when I discovered it. I'd read it before that. But it was better than 20 years ago when I really discovered this, when I had a co-worker of mine at the plant and friend that was very sick. I didn't know it at the time, but dying of cancer. And God put these verses on my mind, and I wasn't in the ministry, but that didn't matter. He was my friend, and I loved the Lord, and I just wanted to love my neighbor a little bit. And so God laid these verses on my heart, and I think it was time away from school. I remember that. It could have been Thanksgiving. I know it was time away from school because I took my son, who was only about 10 at the time, and we drove clear to the Mayo Hospital, and I read this psalm to my buddy Tom that day. And it spoke to me. It spoke to Tom. Tom was deeply moved that Adam and I would even come down there. But the scripture spoke to him, because as God revealed to me through this scripture, I shared with Tom that day. And it spoke to both of us. But as he revealed it to me, there is no valley too deep that God can't still walk in it with you. There isn't. And you can say, as Tom could have said that day, he didn't. Yeah, but you don't know this valley I'm in. But God does. There is no valley so deep that He hasn't been willing to be right there with you. And I reminded him that day from this scripture, and it spoke to me as much as it did to him. Where can I go from Your presence that You're not already there, O Lord? It reminded me that day and 100 times or more since, as I've referred to it over and over and over in my yearly readings and just ministering to people, it's reminded me over and over that no matter where we are in life, when we cry out to Jesus, we are never alone. Now to close this year and this day, I want to ask you, and some of you have heard 100 times and are sick of hearing it, but I want to ask you one more time. Do you know Him so well that even though life takes you through the valley, you know that even though you can say like David, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because You are still with me. Do you know Him so well that no matter what life has handed you in 2015 or will in 2016, I know that my Redeemer lives? Do you know Him so well that you know He will carry you through the storms of life? Because if you're still just wondering about all of that, friends, it can be different when you know Him, when you passionately surrender to Him, confessing our sins, believing in Him as Lord, and receiving Him as Savior. Everything will be different when we know Him. And so I ask you one more time, do you know with certainty if you died tonight, you will be with Him tomorrow? This Sunday, 1 year ago, there was people here. They're not here anymore. That surprised us. Some of them, not so much, they were sick, but many surprised us. And 1 year from today, many of us will not be here then either. And I ask you simply, do you know with certainty because you have been born again into the kingdom of God that if you die today, tomorrow you'll be with Him in glory? Do you know it? The Bible says in 1 John 5:13 through 15, we can know. Life comes through the Son. He that has life, he that has a Son has life, John writes. He that doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. And we can know we have this eternal life. This eternal life is in the Son. It's not a head knowledge. Yes, Jim, I believe in God. It's a deep surrendering to Jesus the Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Do you know that you know? You've been born again. And if I die today, I'm going to be with Jesus tomorrow. And those loved ones that have gone on, that have trusted Jesus, I know that I know. Because if you're still wondering, friends, stop putting it off. If you're basing heaven on your good deeds or your church membership or perhaps church attendance or even some whatever else, that ain't going to work. Ain't going to get it done on Judgment Day. Jesus died for our sins that we might put our faith in Him and be reborn. Confess our sins, believe in Him, and receive Him as Savior of our lives. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And so I pray if that's not the case, if that's not your status, that you'd get right with God today through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. I really do praise God for all that we went through this last year, even though some of it has been very hard. You have lost some of your family. I have lost some of my closest friends. But I praise God for walking with us through all of it. Amen? He's walked with us through all of it. And I praise God for what He's doing in people's lives even today. Saving souls. Setting the captives free. Redeeming the lost. Healing marriages. Healing broken bodies. I praise God for what He's going to do in 2016. And so, however your 2015 has been, I pray that this little chorus that we're going to sing entitled Through It All. I pray that this little chorus is your chorus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And if that hasn't been your case for 2015, I pray that it is for 2016. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. We're going to sing that one, and then we're going to sing one more short song. And so let's stand and sing this together, Through It All. Let's close in prayer. God in heaven, we praise You. We praise You, Father, how You have taken care of us, drawn us through 2015, saved, redeemed, transformed, set the captives free, encouraged, picked us up and set us on the pathway. Oh, we can do 2016 because Jesus lives, oh God. We can do the valley of the shadow of death because we know that we are not in it alone. We praise You, oh God, for Your goodness. We praise You for 2015. Help us to grow from the hurt and the tragedy and the heartache. Help us to go into 2016 knowing because He lives and He is my Redeemer, I can face tomorrow. I can face tomorrow even when the sentence comes from a doctor, or even when our spouse passes away or walks away, even when we lose our jobs, or even when we lose all financial security, we can face tomorrow because Jesus lives in our lives. And Father, I pray for our community. I pray for our family. I pray for our churches where people are sitting in church and don't know Jesus as Lord. Where people are not in church and people don't know Jesus as Lord. Father, open their eyes before it's too late. A year from now, it'll be too late for millions. Open their eyes to Jesus. Give them another chance, Lord, to cry out, Jesus, I need You. Forgive me. Come into my life and take over, Jesus. Give them another chance, oh God, before it's too late. Some of them are in our families. Some of them are our co-workers. Some of them are sitting in church today. And they're not ready for heaven. Father, open eyes, open hearts, redeem the lost, oh God. So that when they close their eyes in death, they will see Jesus. Go with us today, Father. Strengthen us for the new year. Strengthen us for the mountaintops and the valleys. Help us to be reminded because Jesus lives and He's my Savior. I can face tomorrow. We pray it in His precious name. Amen.